You want the facts? Honestly. You want the truth? You want the real story? You want to know the real numbers? What really happened regarding Port Authority and Pat McMahon and your bus routes? You're going to get all of it right now.
You have an investigative reporter on your side. The Inside Story with Marty Griffin. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Marty Griffin here. All right, this is actually a fantastic opportunity. Dan Honorato has actually been obviously conducting negotiations with the Port Authority Union. He has sat face-to-face with Pat McMahon. We're not going to make this personal. We're going to deal about with the facts. We're going to deal with Port Authority. These are the real facts. And for those who don't believe they are, that's your problem, not mine. It's not Dan Honorato's problem. These are facts. If you have evidence, real evidence, to disprove the facts of this, then bring it. If you don't, then you're just a hater. And we can talk to you, and I get all that, but here's what we will not do. We're not going to make this a personal attack on Dan Honorato. We're just not. And if you call here to make it a personal attack, calling him a liar, a thief, a traitor, all these things that I've heard in my emails, then I'm going to cut you off, quite frankly, after I call you a few things. Because if you're going to make it personal, then I am. My intention here, Dan's intention here, in coming here today at our request so that you could get the real facts, because he has not spoken to the media like this since these negotiations started, is so that you know exactly what's happening with Port Authority, so that maybe we can reach a point where this thing is resolved, so that you do have a bus route, so that you do have a bus, so that you do have a way to get to and from work. Dan, here this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Marty.
And let's get right to it. It really, the beauty of this is that we have this open forum, and Dan has set aside quite a bit of time this morning to do this. We're going to take as many questions as we can. Why do you think this is important, Dan?
Because there's no doubt in my mind, by June 30th of 2012, we're out of time. We're out of gimmicks. We're out of one-time fixes. If we don't start making the changes that need to be made right now, Port Authority is broke. There's no money. There's approximately a $60 million annual deficit. And if you think these 15% cuts are tough, you're not going to want to see what's coming in June 30th of 12 when the Port Authority starts going under. And I'm not here to find out who's at fault. No, there's a lot of problems over 40 years. It's built up. We got to deal with reality right now. It's not Pat's fault. It's not a management's fault. It's not anybody's fault right now. What the real issue is, what's the current leadership going to do? Meaning the union leadership, my leadership, Port Authority, what are we going to do? And Marty, if I could just say, there's really two numbers we got to remember, because this is something that nobody disputes. And the bottom line is this. You talked about one of them yesterday, but I'm going to repeat them again today. The two numbers. SEPTA, Philadelphia, 3.5 times larger based on the number of people employed than Port Authority. Their post-retirement health care is 8 million. Port Authority's is 32 million. Port Authority, 2,700 active employees. Allegheny County, 6,300 active employees. They both have health care costs of $69 million. If those two numbers don't tell you we're on the brink of collapse, I don't know what else I can stress to show you that we have to do something now. The time to act is now.
Hey, tell our listeners what actually starts to happen and why does it happen next June?
Because the this has been building up over 20, 30 years. But next June is that there's no cash anymore, because what happened with the plan that took effect on Sunday, a 15% cut, the other part of that plan, which no one's talking about, to get to June 30th of 12, there's 180 layoffs, there's 15% cuts of the routes, $28 million of the $32 million fund balance, the savings account, is being used of Port Authority's money to get through that. That means they're down to $4 million. And at that point in time, the deficit continues to grow. The next move would be drastic cuts, and at that point, you don't have a transit agency. We have to deal with these legacy costs. And what I'd like to do is explain how we got to this point over the last 10 days, how I got involved in where it is right now.
The notion out there that you are trying to bust the union, ruin Port Authority, and bring in private transit doesn't make sense to me looking at your history.
No, it doesn't. I'm not even going to criticize Pat. I think he thinks he's doing what he should do for his membership. But anyone that knows me, and I mean really knows me, even other union leaders know that's not true. I don't want to do the privatization. And by the way, this isn't privatization. Lenzer picked up two routes. Port Authority was created almost 40 years ago because private companies can't do this. Public transit's always going to be subsidized. It is in every city in the United States. If we want it, it's going to be subsidized. So private companies won't do it. I come from a union household. I am a supporter of unions. I think unions help create the middle class, and I think they help maintain the middle class. And I wouldn't want to live in a country where we didn't have them. I support collective bargaining. I think it's great. But at the same time, I am the county executive now, and I have an obligation to the taxpayers. And just because we don't agree on this issue doesn't make either one of us or either side anti anything. The reality is Port Authority's broke. It's going to go over the cliff, and we have to deal with that. So let's don't call each other's names. Let's deal with numbers. Port Authority's broke. We're not going to have any transit in about 18 months unless we fix the problem.
Folks, we're talking live to Dan Honorato. When we come back, as we start taking your calls, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020, I want you to think of a couple things. Pat McMahon said that their offer was roughly $18 million in cuts, when in fact the numbers are millions and millions of dollars below that. All the concessions that Pat McMahon was willing to make for his union members were temporary. They would have been restored in July of 2012. They demanded a no-layoff guarantee. A no-layoff guarantee. They called for rejection of all applications from private carriers like Lesnar. All applications like Lenzer. So, was it a real deal? Did they misrepresent their union members? Yeah, they did. As we talk about the real numbers and the real reason why you're riding on crowded buses or why your bus is gone, next.
Inside local politics and inside injustices. The Inside Story.
We've got a lot to get to. Dan is here to provide you the most accurate information. Next live right here, News Radio 1020 KDK. Marty Griffin here. We have Dan Honorato. We also have an interview with Pat McMahon we're going to play. I don't want them. I like Pat McMahon, actually. Pat's a very, very passionate guy. He really cares about his people. His numbers aren't accurate. He would tell me I'm wrong. We had this discussion yesterday, actually. We talk about this all the time. It's not as if I blow off Pat McMahon. He knows that. He actually has been on the show a lot. But I want to get to this without yelling and screaming. We will play his interview, and we will get to his issues. Dan Honorato joining us. Before we get to your calls, folks, and your questions, let's lay this out, Dan. How do we get here? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, about 11 days ago is when I sort of got involved. 2 months ago, Port Authority announced their 15% cut plan to deal with the deficit. And it became very clear 2 weeks ago that that plan was going to be implemented. There was no conversations going on. And let's be clear, the Port Authority workers have a contract, so it's not up. So there is no negotiation. There's no reason for them to negotiate other than this crisis. So about 11 days ago, I reached out to and I was talking with the union leadership. And I also reached out to the authority and independently of both of them, because I wanted my people in Allegheny County to verify the numbers, both from the union and from the Port Authority. And it was very clear that Port Authority has a huge structural problem. And so I asked, what would it take for us to not have to do the 15% cut, not do the 180 layoffs, and not do the privatization with Lenzer? If we didn't do any of that deal, what would it take? That's how I developed two proposals. Yes, there was give and take. I presented my original 5 points the first day. The union countered with some interesting proposals, and we looked at them. I want to be fair there. But it became clear toward the end of the week, when the cut period ready to take effect, that we were getting farther apart, not closer. And I thought it was important to put in the writing the two options. And I did offer a 7-day delay if the union was willing to vote up or down one of the two options. And if they would accept one of those two options, we would not have done any layoffs, we would not have done any cuts, and we would not have done the privatization. But I also want to point out that these are significant changes. I don't want to minimize that. What we were asking were significant, but they would have started dealing with the legacy costs, which were pushing this authority over the edge. And we can ignore it as much as we want, but it's not going away. It's
it never here. Came up in the conversations. They would never address them.
It came up, but they did not want to deal with the legacy costs at this moment in time, but committed to deal with it in the future. but not now.
But now's the time. That's why these guys are laid off today.
We're out. Yeah, you're right. We're out of time. We might have been able to delay it a few years ago. It's over. We have to deal with it now. And the other reality is, people said to me, and I heard them say, why didn't Honorado agree to the agreement that they're under right now? Well, here's what's changed. We put dedicated funding in place, and everybody knows what that is. We also got a nice contract with the help of the union to start dealing with a little bit of the legacy problem. But Act 44 collapsed on us. That's the state funding formula. If that didn't collapse, we wouldn't have this crisis right now. And what I mean by that is when the tolling of I-80 was rejected, it blew a big hole in the funding formula, and therefore we have a lower amount of money we get. Now, I want to make it clear. I'm not blaming the state. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming the union. I'm just saying this is the reality. We know what money we have. We know that our expenditures are way out of line. We're on our own. We have to fix this, and we have to fix it now.
And it's not changing.
And it's not changing.
This notion, and I get it, Pat McMahon has always lived by Rendell, Harrisburg will bail us out. Corbett will not bail them out.
And, you know, and to be fair to
right,
the,
Dan?
Yeah, and to be fair to the new governor. Look at his problems.
Right.
Is anybody listening to me right now, Democrat, Republican, Independent, believe that the administration in Harrisburg, the Senate, and the House, with what they're dealing with, are going to put $60 million more dollars annually into Port Authority? I don't believe it's happening.
No way.
I don't believe it's happening.
Under any condition.
I don't believe it's going to happen. So we got to deal with realities of today, and that is, here's how much we're getting from the state, here's how much we're getting from the federal government, here's what the county's putting in, and our expenditures are too high. We have to fix it, and we have to fix it now, or we won't have transit.
Before we get on to anything else, because I'm hearing from a bunch of people, and this is disgusting. All this stuff is about money and dollars and cents and jobs mean a lot to people. Actually, people get very angry when they lose your jobs, and they hate you as a result. I'm hearing from some sources that you've actually been threatened. Is this true?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that on the air, you know, because if you have a few crazy comments. I don't want to imply that that's across the board. I also want to make it clear, and I said this yesterday at the press conference, I live on the north side my entire life. I know a lot of bus drivers. I grew up with a lot of these guys. I know them. I might not have as many friends as I used to have, but I want to tell you they're good people. And the vast majority of them are great drivers. And they're stuck in the same situation I'm stuck in. We got to figure this out together. It's nobody's fault. I'm not blaming anybody. But we can't ignore the fact the Port Authority is almost bankrupt and it's going to quit operating. That's a fact. Forget about whose fault it is. That's a fact. We have to deal with the numbers.
But it's despicable to me, and I know you don't want to talk about this, but I'm hearing from a couple people that are close to the situation that you've been threatened, and I'm not going to belabor this point. It's disgusting. You're doing your job. You're doing the right thing. You're the only person that was willing to step up and put the facts on the table. All politics aside, all union issues aside, you laid your career on the line for this because you believe in the future and these guys preserving their jobs.
Well, Marty, I do want to say 11 days ago when I got involved, and it kills me today that there's 180 people not working right now, and we have a plan that we could have dealt with it, and it was a tough plan. But anybody listening, because they don't know me, I lived through this. I was a senior in high school. You might remember a company called Alice Chalmers on the north side. They had 3,000 employees. My father was 47 years old, had 27 years of service. They left town. My mother gets about $60 a month pension. You know why? He didn't have the magical numbers, 50 years of age and 20 years of service. I know what it feels like when a family loses everything. I don't want to see that happen here. I don't want to see that happen here.
What do you tell these retired guys who say, I worked my whole life there, and now Honorado's going to reach into my pocket and he wants to take money from my health care?
Well, and that's interesting because talk about misinformation. Under my two options, the people that are currently retired, we don't touch them under either option. That's the deal they had. They went out, even though it's expensive. My plans would have capped that group. It wouldn't have grown. But if you're listening to me and you're a retiree from Port Authority, neither one of my options ask you to put a penny into it because you were already retired. So let's be clear about that. Mine was dealing with current employees giving up health care for life and getting 3 years or keeping health care and paying a lot more in their premium.
Dan Honorado, live when we come back. All right, I'm going to slam through a bunch of calls. I appreciate everybody's patience. Hundreds of folks already jumping in on Facebook. We're going to get to as much of this as possible. I've got to ask Honorado a couple things. Whether they're fuzzy, funny, funky, or flat-out lies, the numbers presented by Pat McMahon and his union were not accurate, Dan. This is a fact, right? There were not $18 million in cuts.
Yeah, I don't want to say they weren't accurate. What happened was when I guess the paper he gave in writing to the Port Authority on Friday, there were a lot of conditions that were attached to them, that they weren't permanent. Right. And therefore, they really weren't as valuable as they sounded at first when you look at the conditions that were attached to it.
Plus, when they said they were going to take a 10% cut, that wasn't true, Dan. They were taking 10% of their money and putting in a pension. So it's like somebody saying to Marty Griffin today, hey, we're taking 10% of your salary and putting it in your 401k.
Well, to be fair to Pat, it was a significant move that they offered to do that, but it didn't solve our problem.
Right.
So he's not on here today, and I don't want to say he did move, and I'll give him credit for that, but it didn't solve the big problem that we have to start dealing with today, and it wasn't enough for us to not do the 15% cuts and not do the layoffs. I didn't want to take an offer from him and still have cuts and layoffs, because then it would really look bad. It has to be enough so that we can really start changing what's happening at Port Authority. And I think it's important we focus on the problem at Port Authority, because it's not going away. And I don't want to be sidetracked on other issues.
Well, I want to make sure people know that these numbers, from what I'm hearing, their total offer was $14.7 million. It wasn't 18. Is that accurate, sir?
It definitely wasn't 18. The question is, was it 14 or 16? But regardless, the problem was, when you look at the caveats in the agreement, that would shrink and go down over time or with different conditions that took effect. We made it clear whatever concessions we came up with, they had to be permanent. They could not have a sunset provision, because we're trying to save the authority. That proposal, when we saw it in writing, didn't achieve that goal.
What did you want his people to pay, what in terms of health care, to save this thing?
Well, I did release the terms yesterday,
right,
because I remained silent for over the weekend, because I don't negotiate through the media, and up until 3 o'clock on Saturday, there was still a chance we could get a deal done. But once the cuts kicked in, well, this is all over with. But the two proposals dealt with overtime roles, work roles, pension numbers. But the biggest difference in the two proposals, one was, if you wanted to keep health care for life, you would pay about 20% of premium. If you wanted to continue paying 3% of wages, which they currently do,
right,
you would give up health care for life but get 3 years of health care. You retire at 62, you get 3 years of health care, bridge you to 65, similar to what Philadelphia SEPTA has. Both of those scenarios would have had a significant effect on the legacy cost. That's probably the biggest difference between the two options.
You gave them the choice of handling the legacy costs, and they refused to address them.
Well, and again, they are legally under contract. They don't have to do anything. But I was trying to see what could we do to avoid these cuts and layoffs. And this was a concept and an idea, and we did not come to a meeting of the minds. Therefore, the cuts took effect on Sunday night.
Blames you. I mean, quote after quote after quote, Dan Onorato is responsible for you losing your jobs, you personally.
Well, obviously, I totally disagree with that. And I think the reason we're in the situation, we probably can blame a lot of people over 20 years, and I'll take my percentage of blame of that. But what does that solve if we don't deal with the issue today? I mean, I'm sitting here, he's sitting there, and Port Authority's sitting there, and we got a $60 million annual deficit. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday, 3 months ago, 20 years ago. It's what we do today going forward, and I'm trying to address it.
Hey, so I keep hearing that this can be reversed. If you sat down with him today, could you somehow fix this? And if you could wave a wand, could this be fixed and these workers be brought back, sir, somehow?
Well, at a minimum, the two options that excuse me, that I put on the table, if one of those two were approved, yes, the answer is yes. We could reverse the cuts and reverse the layoffs and get back to where we were and make it to June 30th at 12 if we had one of the two options.
And then June 30th at 12, they'd have to give up more.
Or the contract they're currently under is up, and then they can actually sit down and talk about a long-term fix at that point in time. And they'll know, yes, regardless of where you are, will the state do any more? We'll know the answer by then. It's 18 months from now. I believe we'll get nothing more except what we're getting, and then we'll have the opportunity to fix it going forward with the new contract.
What would it take to fix it going forward with the new contract? A permanent fix so the guys don't constantly have to believe, because this is what they think. You're going to cut them now. You're going to cut them down the road. They're going to lose their jobs eventually, so to hell with you.
Well, the one option that out of the two that I really liked that would answer that question, Marty, if, in fact, the current employees were in a situation where they were no longer getting health care for life, but we're getting at least 3 years, like Philadelphia. And then the legacy cost that we currently have, now that has been capped. No one else is going into it, or at least 200 more maybe go into it, and that's it. That number shrinks drastically over the next couple of years. That will be beginning to fix it long term. And I believe at that point, if you deal with the legacy costs, you won't be in this cut mode anymore. We can start fixing it, and it could actually start growing going forward. But that's a change that we need, and it's a tough change right now.
Tony in West Mifflin, thanks for your patience. You got Dan Honorato. Hey, Tony, thanks for hanging in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just asked a question. I'll hang up and listen for the answer. But why can't the I-80 proposal be readdressed?
That is a federal and a state issue. I have not heard Governor Corbett's view on that. I heard he said he wasn't opposed to tolling, but he's not just going to slap tolls. I think is what he said. He's not going to just slap tolls on roads. He might use it with a public-private partnership for new roads. But I believe that the legislature and the state government has no desire to go back and revisit tolling of I-80. Therefore, the Act 44 funding formula reverts back to the old numbers, which is less money for us and other areas of the state.
Bob, thanks for your patience. Go.
Dan, I'm not a fan of either of you. Why I don't understand why you're not talking about people paying more that ride the bus.
Oh, I'm sorry. Both of my plans do. I'm glad you brought that up. We were just talking about the $20 million concession side. Both of my options are $30 million deals. And under both of my options, it included increasing fares for the riders and increasing money from the county to Port Authority. The combination of the two of those would be an annual $10 million more a year than what we currently give them. So that was part of the deal, and I'm glad you said that. And you reminded me of something else. I heard through the media inaccurately from some people talking that somehow, why doesn't management do something? Why doesn't the non-representative employees? Well, I want to make it clear. They have, and they will continue to. As it relates to this health care issue, anybody non-representative management, they lost it 3 years ago. It's gone. They don't have it. I refuse to make sure they make management have a two-tiered system where it's better than the workers. They led by example. They got rid of the drop program. They got rid of lifetime health care. They got rid of the 500 monthly pension supplement. All of the non-representative employees in management, that is gone. They took it. It's already in effect. And they would be part of some of these changes going forward. So I want to be clear that I heard people loud and clear, and we started with management and non-representative employees first.
Hey, Bob, you're one of these guys. You really think the whole thing should shut down? To heck with it, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. You think it's a joke?
I don't ride it but once or twice a year. But I know, I realize that when it costs a person $2 to get on a bus and taxpayers $6 in subsidies, there's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah, well, Bob, I think we got, as a society, we got to decide here if we want to have subsidized public transit. We're the 15th largest out of the top 25. All 25 have huge subsidies, and they all have dedicated funding like we do here, and, you know, the one that I took a lot of heat on. If anyone thinks that the private sector can do this, it's not going to happen. Sure, they could cherry pick a few of the profitable routes, but the reason we have publicly subsidized transit is because the private companies couldn't make it work. And that's in every city in the United States. It's about a public policy issue, really.
Well, they're certainly not rushing to you or anybody else offering proposals.
Oh, no. I mean, think about this. What was up the other day was two routes in the North Hills. No one's coming to us saying, hey, we'll take over the system.
Right.
There are no companies that will do this.
Right. There's no one out there. Jim in the Rocks, thanks for hanging in there so long. Go.
Good morning, Mr. Honorato.
Good morning.
Mr. Honorato, first of all, if I am wrong, because
quickly,
our operators and our mechanics are out there on the road, but three questions real quick.
Yes.
Why won't the board members do more on giving back and...
They don't have it. Who? Giving back to what? Be specific. Quick, Jim.
Okay. Well, as far as... Why won't they offer giving back more of their pays, and why is Dan taking a $5,000 pay raise on top of his honor?
All right, hold on. When's the last time you had a pay raise?
Yeah, I mean, you called in here, and you told a lie on the airwaves. I want everybody to know, when I first got elected, let me finish. When I got elected 8 years ago, we had to lay off almost 500 people. We were out of money at the county. I have never taken a pay raise or cost of living. for 8 years. My salary today is the same as it was 8 years ago. And the reason I did that was, how could I possibly take a pay raise when I'm laying people off? So I did not get one.
Dan, I meant.
Dan who? I am Dan.
I'm sorry. I get rushed like this.
Forget it, man. Jeez. Man. Too much caffeine.
And by the way, his point, though, management already took the hits, and they're going to continue.
The board members
don't get paid.
They don't get paid. They volunteer.
But management and all non-representative employees have already given up their health care and given up the other supplemental payments because they're out of money. They had to. And we're not asking the union workers to do all of that, but to do significant changes. And, hey, Marty, I want to make clear, I'm not happy that I'm in the position that I got to ask for this. Believe me, I'm not. But I also, I'm now facing reality on what's happened with Harrisburg, the federal government, where we are. We have to face reality. We have to fix this, or it is going to stop. We're not going to have any buses in another 18 months.
Hey, jump in here. Larry McCandless, thanks for your patience. You've got Dan.
Hey, not a big fan of yours, Dan, but I got to tell you, you know, I've been listening all morning. I listened to Pat, who sounds like Vince McMahon. Then I listened to you. You really sound like you care. Pat? I spent 20 years in the Teamsters Union, so, you know, I've got a little bit of background here. And the leadership of the union across this country is really going to hurt these members, going to screw these members in the end. You know, there's no budging, there's no giving, there's no compromise. It's just hateful talk coming out of Pat McMahon's mouth. You know, I don't hear any compromise. I don't hear any compassion about the riders or the whole system. All I hear is me, me, me. You know, Dan, keep up the good work. Again, not a big fan of yours, but I'm coming down on your side.
And Marty, if I can say again, I want to be fair. Pat made movements, and he has sat down with me. He has been in the room. He's trying to work on it. And I do think he cares about his drivers and the riders. This is really about making some tough decisions to try to fix something that none of us caused. To try to be a little fair there, I don't want to make this personal.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Dan Onorato.
Okay, I know his story. He quit negotiating. He told me point blank Thursday night, 8 o'clock, the negotiations are over. Here's my two ideas. Take it or leave it. So that's where he's at. But let me just say this. He's negotiating by himself, and he wants the world to think that he's talking to us. He has not talked to us. He did that. That's it. He shifted gears on us. He said, get the $20 million, and I don't care how you get there. When we got close, he changed the goal line. He moved it back and said no, because he don't want this. He wants what's going on right now. That's my opinion.
Why would he want that?
Because he's into privatization. He, from day one, when he took office 8 years ago, he has said he is going to control this Port Authority. He's going to right size. He's going to do all this stuff, and he's never stopped. He tried to impose a contract, and you know what? According to Dan Arado, everyone misunderstands everything he's done. The idea in the beginning, which Dan is certainly changing this, but the idea was to get us to June. The whole cuts that went in here, and let's go back, let's listen, and let's pay attention. The reason they were doing those cuts was to get us to June of 12th. That's where we started. They needed X amount of dollars to get to June of 12th. And when we almost got there, then he says, oh, no, this has to be long-term. And I'll just say one other thing that's so important. First of all, his numbers are way out of line because they're just underestimated. When you talk legacy costs and you talk assumption and valuations of pensions, you're talking years. You're talking his proposal that he says $20 million is worth well over $100 million without a doubt.
Wow. Now, it's Pat McMahon, you know, you say you don't want to make this personal, but clearly he thinks you're after them. You want a union bust. You want to destroy Port Authority.
Well, let me talk directly to the drivers. I'm not. I'm trying to save jobs, and I'm talking to the riders. I'm trying to save routes, and I'm trying to save and build a good public transit system for Western Pennsylvania, for Allegheny County. And the reason I don't want to get down into the personal discussions because we could spend 3 hours going back and forth, and I'll walk out of this room. We're still going to have a $60 million deficit at Port Authority. We got to deal with these issues. I'm sorry that he feels that way, but I am not trying to break the backs of the union here. I'm trying to save these jobs. And you know what? I hope that we provide all the routes and can expand one day. And the reference to the value of what I'm proposing is a lot more than $20 million. Down the road, it would be, but we need to reverse the legacy cost trends. If we don't reverse them, that $100 million is going the wrong direction. That's why we're going to shut it down. We have to reverse it. Again, if I can just stress something, SEPTA in Philadelphia, 3.5 times larger. Post-retirement health care is only $8 million. We're already at $32 million and growing. We can't continue down this path.
It's ugly, and it gets uglier. Greg, you're one of the folks who says let it go bankrupt.
Yeah, I believe it should. And I'm a big fan of Dan's. I think he's been great for the county. And I think it's time to let it go bankrupt and start over.
Well, that obviously could happen on its own if we don't fix this long term. But I would not want to see that happen because you might lose control of how we could design it to make it work for us here at that point once it gets into bankruptcy. And I don't think that would be the right way to right-size this. It would be one way, but I would hope that we could figure out a way on our own.
Without addressing, by the way, Dan's going to hang around for the next hour. He has set up a block of time. We got a lot more to get to. I know there's a lot of folks trying to get through. We have hundreds of people jumping in here on Facebook. Again, so folks understand this, you cannot agree to a deal that doesn't address legacy costs. You just can't.
Well, I mean, I cannot agree to a deal that doesn't produce what we need to produce and then give no layoffs, no 15% cuts, and put it back to the status quo because financially they won't make it. And I can't agree to a deal that doesn't work. That didn't work. So we don't have a deal. And the two options that I put forward actually allow Port Authority to say, oh, good, we can hold back on the cuts. We don't have to do the layoffs. We can keep the routes in place. But to do that, we need to get X, Y, and Z done to a certain value. We're not there. And so we don't have an agreement. Therefore, the cuts are the plans to keep it running.
There's a sadness to all of it, admittedly. It's not the job it used to be. And for these drivers out there, it's a middle-class life. It's not, they're not millionaires.
Not at all.
And unfortunately, in America today, and I've discussed this on this show, they kind of end up being pigeonholed or characterized as criminals trying to rip off a system, and it's too bad.
Well, Marty, and health care costs is absorbing all of the increases they're making over the years. Allegheny County saw their health care go up, and employees are starting to pay now. You know, 10 years ago, health care was free to employees, everybody. Well, that's not the case anymore. And at the county, you know, no one gets health care for life when you retire. You just don't do it. And I'm committed that whatever we do, management, non-representatives, union, we're in it together. We'll have the same deal. We'll all operate under the same roles. And we're in this together to fix it. Taxpayers, riders, bus drivers, county, Port Authority. We're all in this together.
Dan Honorato hanging around next live right here. The thing that I want to know is why the drivers didn't get a chance to vote on one of these deals. Why not put it to your people, Pat McMahon, rather than you saying, Dan Honorato, what happened today in the transit system, he did it. Dan Honorato alone, right now.
You have an investigative reporter on your side. The Inside Story with Marty Griffin. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Hey, I've been throwing this number out for a month, and it's accurate. The union guys that say I'm a liar and the numbers are a lie, okay, that's your problem. The $8 million for post-retirement health care costs for SEPTA, which is almost 4 times bigger than Port Authority. Port Authority's number, $32 million. It was not addressed in this deal. And that's the bottom line. Pat McMahon said, what happened today in the transit system, he did it. Dan Honorato sitting here, you did it. You and you alone, you're Oz, the man behind the curtain. You're responsible for shutting it down. You're responsible for taking these jobs. You have every intention of privatizing Port Authority. That's the play that the union leaders are taking. I don't think it benefits the drivers or this community in the long run, does it, sir?
No, and I'm not looking to privatize it because I know that you can't privatize mass transit. It's not going to happen. I'm trying to save mass transit and save good-paying union jobs with benefits, but benefits that can actually be sustained long term. And right now we're not in that situation. And again, I don't think it serves anybody to try to put blame on why we're here. In some ways, it's none of our faults. And in another way, it's all of our faults. But the reality is, it's on our watch now. My watch, Pat's watch, Port Authority's watch, County Council's watch. We got to deal with it. I'm trying to deal with the issue right now.
It's amazing how it's changed, though. It was Port Authority leadership that set up a deal that allowed drivers to retire at 45 if they wanted to. We had one on the air.
Absolutely.
This was going to save the system. Now those very drivers are being called greedy, that they're scarfing off the system, and that they're ruining the system. But they were told, retire early, help us out.
And the drivers and the members of the unions are absolutely right of abuses that took place in the past by prior leadership of the Port Authority, where they did a drop program. They did early retirement, health care for life, because they did it for themselves, the management. I'm talking about management.
Right.
And they spread it around. And what they did is they set up a situation that was a ticking time bomb that's exploding right now.
Right now.
Right now.
And it's landed in the laps of these drivers on the
right.
buses today.
This is not, it's not the retirees' fault. It's not the current workers' fault. These were the rules they negotiated. But it's also nobody's fault that it's blowing up right now and that we have to deal with it. So I don't criticize any worker for what they bargained for and what they got. I get it. I get it, and I respect them. I came out of a household that had those benefits. But the reality right now is we're risking losing all of it. You're risking losing all of it if it doesn't get fixed.
Gone. Harry and Hazelwood, thanks for hanging in there. Go.
Yeah, hey, Dan, how you doing? I voted for you the first time you had ran, and I thought you were doing a good job. But I got a question. I work at a subway. I don't make a lot of money. I need the buses. And if the buses go, you know, I won't be able to get to work. And I keep hearing, you know, these guys, these bus drivers are greedy. And I asked my bus driver, you know, he says, well, it's not us. It's management. So I did a little bit of homework. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Really, I'm not. You know, I'm not gonna make any excuses. But, you know, he said there's guys, you know, who in management were able to buy 16 years of service and get 25-year pensions. How does that work? That makes no sense. I believe that you mentioned a guy, Steve Bannon, who did that. He's got lifetime medical coverage. Yeah.
By the way, you're right. Harry's right.
Let me say, the caller is absolutely right. In prior years, and I'm talking like the last 15 years, the last 20 years, management set up all kind of drop programs and retirement plans where they could come in, work 3 years at Port Authority, and then buy back 10 years from an authority somewhere else in the country where they used to work. You are absolutely right. Those abuses took place. We're paying for a lot of that right now. And by the way, I never said, and I want to make it clear here, the drivers are not greedy. The drivers, they don't make a lot of money. They make decent money. It's middle class, nice middle class jobs. What I'm trying to say is that because of some of the mistakes made in prior years, because of funding formulas that never materialized, because of healthcare costs going out of control, we find ourselves in a situation where we're not going to have buses, we're not going to have good-paying jobs, we're not going to have an authority if we don't collectively address this ourselves right now.
Hey, many of these guys have emailed me saying, you're the guy who came out and said, this contract, the most recent negotiated, saves $93 million. It's the best contract ever. Port Authority's on solid ground, Dan. And now you're backpedaling and lying.
Actually, it was $96 million.
Right.
And I said that when it was signed, it did save us $96 million. The actuarial savings were $96 million over 4 years. It was a significant move because what happened was it's extended the year. You couldn't retire at 48 anymore. You had to work a little longer. And that gave us a huge savings. But it also was part of the Act 44 deal, where we were getting a new funding formula when they signed that agreement. Again, not their fault, not my fault. But the Act 44 state funding formula, after we did the contract, collapsed. I-80 got rejected. The numbers got reduced. And now all of a sudden, even though we had a huge movement on the contract that allowed us to start addressing some of the issues, the funding formula got lowered. That blew a hole in it. And again, nobody's fault. Reality. We got a hole in the system right now.
Hey, let's jump on this driver. Chuck from White Oak's been hanging for a while. Jump in here. You've got Dan Honorado. I appreciate you calling.
How you doing, Dan?
Hi, Chuck.
First off, I'd like to thank you for getting involved because I know you really didn't have to.
Thank you.
But I just want to share with you that as a current employee and a driver with the Port Authority, I cannot bear the full load of the weight that's being put on me. Mm. I don't want to pay for all the retirees' pensions. I'll pay for my own, and I'll kick in a little bit. But we have to get something back from them as well. We know where the crisis came from, the shortfall in the Act 44. have to hope that we can get some of that back. So if it comes from all parties, I'm going to go for it.
Well, Chuck,
if it doesn't come from everybody, I can't deal with it.
Well, Chuck, I appreciate the call, and I take your comments very seriously. The issue right now is that the retirees legally had their deal, and they left their job under that deal. And if there's a way to voluntarily have this discussion, I would love to have it. But I also don't want to make them a scapegoat because they only took the deal that they negotiated, and it's not their fault. But
it is a
big number, and you are absolutely right. If there's a way that we can get all the parties to address this legacy cost issue, that would be the best way to do it. But you can see what I'm going through right now, trying to deal with this issue.
Hey, Chuck, is it fair to take a guy that's retired for 14 years and to send him a letter saying, hey, Mr. Griffin, you're going to now pay 20% of your health care costs? Is that fair?
No, that's not fair, but Dan hit it right on a nail. If there's a way that we can voluntarily get back and give back, and I think...
You've got to be kidding, Chuck.
Pat McMahon offered to negotiate those clawbacks.
But he won't, and he hasn't.
It was right in his proposal. I got it right here in my hand.
What, to ask drivers to give back money?
No, ask the retirees to give back money.
And is it anywhere in the proposal, Dan?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Yeah, read it, please,
sir. If you can.
Okay. Basically, it states that any clawbacks that will be negotiated with the pensioners will be taken off the current employees.
What number was that? Do you know?
Because
I have 1 through 4 on the agreement. I was just seeing where that was.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's see. I found yours.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold.
It was.
I'm going to put you on hold and come back after the break. I got to take a break. Can you hang in there, buddy?
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate Chuck. You've got Dan Honorato live.
You better get Chuck's on.
Pat McMahon called in and said that when he comes back on the show, I'm not allowed to interrupt him, right, T? And I'm letting Dan lie. That's what he said, right? Right? Right. The only difference is Pat doesn't take a breath. He talks for 30 straight minutes, and he gets all purple, and that's what happens. Oh, I want to get back to Chuck, the driver, real quick. Thanks for holding through the break. Chuck, go ahead.
No problem. I'm looking at that proposal right now, and it's Article 3. The union is willing to engage in immediate discussions with the Port Authority in a desire to reach an agreement over changes in retiree health care, which, if obtained, will be significantly reduced legacy costs. Whatever savings realized from the changes in retiree health care will be used to reduce the additional 10% that the employees are willing to contribute. In other words, if they get something from them,
right,
they'll
right.
take something off my back.
Yeah, and actually this clause you just referred to is one of the reasons why the value of the proposal went down, because that is a promise to negotiate as opposed to something right now. And if you look at the two options that I put out there, it actually deals with it, and we were told – and you can look at the comments in the media from leadership that post-retirement health care is not going to be negotiated now, but it will be in the future.
Chuck, why not deal with the real issues today? Get all the drivers in the room, say, look, you either accept this deal or a lot more of us are going to lose these jobs. Why wouldn't Pat McMahon respect you enough to let you make the choice, not Pat McMahon, one guy?
I think if he put all three proposals on the table, we would probably go with the Local 85 proposal other than Dan's.
Yeah, but the problem is that doesn't do it.
It doesn't do it,
Chuck. I mean, if you want to avoid the layoffs, you want to avoid the cuts, you want to avoid the Lenzer situation, the two options I put forward, we would avoid all of them. We would avoid all of them, and we keep the status quo.
Well, I mean,
180 people got laid off 2 days ago. They'd be back to work.
And you know what, Chuck? I got to be straight with you. The public doesn't care about you guys. I mean, let's be honest about this. First of all, most people that call in, it's a conservative audience, but it's a big audience. Most people say bankrupt it, to heck with them. Most people think you guys are rich, which I think is absurd and obnoxious, to be honest, Chuck. And most people say, look, 10% of you use this transportation system, and of the 10%, we're only cutting 4% of those routes, so to heck with you. Crowd on a bus, leave me alone. I'm not paying more in taxes.
And Marty, yeah. Chuck's a good example where you can see Chuck. These are our decent drivers we have out there.
Oh, sure.
We have great drivers out there that actually care. They want to try to fix the system. And it's a shame that the PR part of this is making it look like they're bad. The vast majority of these drivers want to get this fixed. Chuck just explained it.
Hey,
he'd
Chuck,
love to fix it.
Hey,
yeah.
Chuck, one of my good friends on Facebook, and I got 6,000 really good friends. I don't know any of them. Gene says it's nice to see full buses for a change. This is how the public feels. I mean, short of some folks who are outraged, most people say, to heck with you guys. And I'm not saying that's the way people should feel. Most people don't buy what you're selling. Most people think, cut it, I'm done with it, let it go. You know that, Chuck. You feel this.
As they say, they have to walk a mile in my shoes.
I agree.
I know why those buses are empty on the way out of town in the morning, because it's a one-way haul in and a one-way haul out in the evening.
And Chuck, if I can help Chuck on this one, Chuck's absolutely right. Every time I hear that criticism about I saw an empty bus, people do have to realize the way this the county's set up, it's a hub and spoke where it goes in and goes out. We don't have a beltway. So everybody comes in and goes out. So you're going to have one shift where you don't have many people on the buses. But you look at the busways and the buses under even before the cuts that are coming in at rush hour, they're full.
Yeah, well, T had that issue. Her bus was packed every day. Thanks, Chuck. You were awesome.
Thanks, Chuck.
Steve, quick, thanks for your call. Thanks for holding so long. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I was actually wondering about the drink tax. Is there a surplus? I heard we only get like $29.9 million, and what's done with the rest of that money?
Well, it was the car rental and the drink tax was the dedicated funding for transit. Every other city in metropolitan area uses the sales tax, which I wanted to use, but Harrisburg blocked it. But to answer your question, the car rental and the drink tax generates about $32 to $35 million that goes to Port Authority for the local match to get the federal and the state money. There's about $5 million in the fund that was built up over the last 3 or 4 years, and that is available, but it's one-time use. I mean, once you use it, it's gone.
Okay. And as far as I'm a driver, obviously, but as far as the proposals that you have,
yes,
this only takes us to June of 2012.
It's a great point.
That is correct. But what it does, there's something else it does, and it's got missed in all this. Come to June 30th of 12. The two options that we put forward would have Port Authority in a much better position to deal with the imbalance of the state funding and the deficit structure, because the fact that you're dealing with the legacy costs now, the actuarial savings are going to be a big help, and that if we have to make any adjustments come to 2012, they'll be minimal compared to if we don't do anything now, because it's exploding. And so it's the beginning of fixing it long term. It really is.
So, Steve, you think you're just going to get whacked again is what you're saying, right?
Well, it's kind of the history of Port Authority.
Yeah.
However, I do agree with we have to address the problem. And I want my job. I have 11 years. I want to be there 25. I want to retire. But I got to face reality.
Yeah.
Healthcare for life? I don't know.
So why not get Pat to look at one of these two proposals and let you folks actually vote on it rather than just saying, I make the decision and, Steve, you don't care. You don't count.
Marty, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'd like to see all three of them in front of me. And with my union brothers, I'd like to say, hey, this is the one that suits me. That's the one I'm voting for.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't suit you, but it maintains your job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Once again, I agree. Then that's the one I would take to maintain my job.
That's what I say. That's why I think Pat should put this before all of the drivers. Make it fair. All right. Bottom line comes from Vic. And, you know, for drivers out there listening, you know, this is the reality of it. And this is how folks feel. Folks are saying they can't get to work. They're going to have to quit their job. This guy's right. I told my wife this last night. If I called in and told my boss I can't get to work because my bus doesn't run, he would say, find another job. Most of us work in the private sector, and that's the way it's been for 40 years. We pay 25 to 30% of our health care, have no pension, make average $10 per hour, can't go on strike. Get over it. The gravy train is derailed. If Dan O caves, he may as well move out of the state. That's really actually the theory, that you're going to cave. You're going to give into this. You can't go back now.
First of all, this isn't a matter of caving. I'm talking about reality. If we do nothing, and I say we, Port Authority will not survive. Let me be clear about that. It won't survive. Forget about the politics of it. Forget about who said what and who's pointing fingers. It's not going to make it. So this isn't a matter of standing up, caving, doing this. The time, ticking time bomb is started, and it's going to explode real soon. We have to fix this. We have no other option.
So the interesting thing is Jim Byrne comes out with this ridiculous, ignorant plan to take $5 million and save Port Authority. It's both ridiculous and it's ignorant. It's like putting a guy gets shot with a shotgun and he comes in and says, anybody have a Band-Aid? That $5 million is a joke. He's kowtowing to the unions and he's playing politics. Is he not with this $5 million offer, Dan? Him coming up and saying, we've got $5 million in a jar in the back room here.
To be fair to Jimmy and the council members, they were not part of any of the conversations that took place in the last 11 days. So they don't really know what was said, what was done, what was offered. And under my proposals, part of that is increasing in the rates, the base rates for the drive riders, and a part of a county contribution. So if we got option one or two approved, I would have to go to council for it. Maybe he was thinking that he was just showing that they're willing to participate, but that plan by itself does nothing.
Nothing. $5 million does nothing.
But as part of one of my two options, it would be included in there in some way. Somehow.
But he's playing to the unions. Just admit it.
No, I can't see.
You're going to blow it out of the water. You wouldn't even sign off. They can't get that money out anyway.
Well, by itself, it does nothing.
And for someone like Chelsea Wagner, who I like, she's a nice lady. But for her to suggest you're supposed to replace the Port Authority Board, that does nothing. It doesn't bring $60 million to anything.
No, it doesn't. And a lot of that might be personal, too, over the years. But yeah, changing the board does nothing. It absolutely does nothing. You and Jack Wagner have issues? They've been trying to do this for years. I mean, I like Jack and I like Chelsea, but for some reason they've been trying to do this for years. You know what? Again, where's the conversation about the deficit? What are we talking about?
Right.
Reshuffling the board?
Right.
It does nothing.
It does nothing. And by the way, Jake the Snake, who's really, I love him on Facebook, Jake Wire suggesting that bring Pat McMahon on here. I don't want a screaming match. Pat McMahon had 4 days of screaming in the streets. We wanted to have a real discussion about the numbers. We will talk to Pat. I have for years. He's not being blown off or ignored in this notion that Tamara and me are afraid of him. Come on. You listen to the wrong show. Mike and Stowe, thanks for your patience. Go.
Hey, I got a question. I'm a union electrical worker. Somebody come up to me and says 200 people are going to lose their job unless you take a 15% pay cut. That's a no-brainer, and I don't know why they're not doing it. And if the union workers are going to do that, why don't the management take a 15% pay cut too?
And Mike, I can assure you,
I'm a union worker. That's going to keep my job. That's a no-brainer. And in the meantime, raise the rate 50 to 70%. I mean, 50 to 70 cents, like you said. How much money would that give them? A lot.
Well, if it goes from it's currently 225. If you went to 250, 25 cent increase, you'd probably generate a little over $3 million just for the 25 cents. And that is part of my options. One and two. We increase the fares again. And management and non-representative employees also participate in the changes in the givebacks.
Why not raise it a buck? Why not raise it a buck, Dan? I don't understand.
Martin, I'm saying that would be on the table. The combination of increased fares and whatever the county could add to it would be the $10 million revenue side, but we need that $20 million expenditure side fix also.
Pete at Facebook, which is killing it today, there's 400 folks in here. Why doesn't King Corbett allow the folks in Pennsylvania to vote on Marcellus Windfall? Marcellus Windfall has nothing to do with Port Authority. It's amazing how people connect the dots. Ed and Don Munhall, thanks for your patience. You've got Dan Honorato.
How you doing? Dan, let me ask you a question. You made a statement earlier that private industry could not run these systems like the Port Authority does because they'd need subsidies. They couldn't make a profit.
Yes.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. You got access to vans. You got about 7 companies that run access. They're subcontractors for access.
Yes.
They're private companies.
Yes, and if you listen to my whole comment that I made about privatization is that to run the entire system, there's no private company that will do it because Port Authority was created in 1964 after 6 or 7 private companies went bankrupt. But I also said there are certain routes that are profitable and they would cherry pick the good ones. The Mont Valley, McKeesport, McKees Rocks, Stowe Township, I don't have private companies banging on our doors to come in to pick up those routes. But I will acknowledge there would be some routes in some areas and some ways that private companies would pick and cherry pick some of the good stuff there. But if you want a viable system, that's why all 25 largest bus systems in the United States are all publicly subsidized systems. That's just the way our government works if you want mass transit in urban America.
Harold Hayes is in here, and he makes a great point. There is a sadness to some of these cuts. What was it, Harold? Glassport has nothing? Glassport. Like, what do you say to people in Glassport, Dan. They have no bus at all. It's really kind of a sick development in America.
It's amazing you pulled out the example of Glassport. It's one of the areas that made me get involved 11 days ago. In addition to the layoffs, which are breaking my heart, and the routes, there are parts of the county that won't have service. Now, there's some that have reduced service, but there's a few that won't have service. Glassport's one of those areas that was exposed of not having service. That's why I started to figure out how can we come up with a plan that would allow us to do no cuts and no layoffs. And there's significant reductions that were part of option one and two. That's why I did it. That's the pain of what's happening this week, that there are areas that are exposed now.
Here's another driver. I appreciate the drivers actually calling in. Ted and Elizabeth, thanks for your patience. Go, Ted.
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Always good.
Mr. Honorado.
Hey, Ted.
Question here. You're talking about the fare boxes raising fares. We're driving buses now that the fare boxes are completely broke.
He's right.
You can't collect fares.
He's right.
If you try to collect fares with most of the people, not all of them, you got to fight to get a quarter out of them. You got to fight to get an extra dollar for a transfer. What's going to be addressed there?
This is actually a great point. You know, Ted raises a great point. I have friends that are drivers, Dan. They're driving all day, 3-4 hours at a time, with a broken fare box, so in essence, everybody's riding around free. It sounds like a trivial thing with this big $60 million deal, but every nickel counts, and it's ignorant for Port Authority to allow drivers to get out there to work for nothing, collecting no fares.
Ted, there's absolutely no excuse for that, and what I'm hearing you say, I'd be more than happy to look into that. There should be no buses should be going around with broken fare boxes. There's just no excuse for that, at least not for a day's where it happens. You know, if it broke during the middle of the day is one thing, but to have buses with no fare boxes, there's just no excuse for it.
We're going to get on it. Regina and Apollo, thanks for your patience. Go.
I'm so glad they brought that up, but I still haven't. He didn't answer the rest of the question. How are you going to solve it for the drivers that can't get any money out of these people? I suggest that a feasible suggestion, because Marty Griffin said last week that there's no parts for these fare boxes.
And that's what I was told.
Okay, so I suggest let's get a student, an entrepreneur.
Well, one of the
student, Votech school, Votech class, let them get metal boxes, put a slit in the top, put a lock on it, secure it to the floor, and collect the fees.
And, Regina, one of the things that the answer to the question, how are you going to deal with it going forward, the new system that they're putting in where you use the cards is that you pay off-site. So you get a lot of the activity already paid, and then you use the card to go on to swipe it. That would minimize a lot of the abuse here, but you would still have a percentage that wants to pay as they get on, and right. That has to be dealt with.
And it doesn't solve the problem today. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that's something that it's a great criticism, and that's something I will look at immediately when I leave her.
Take my suggestion. You can get an entrepreneur kind of mentality to get the job done, and I think it'd be real simple because the fact that we have to subsidize this debt increased by Port Authority, negligence and lack of expertise, because they don't even care about their fare boxes presenting money. It's just a drain on the private businesses and the taxpayers.
It's interesting. Acceptable. It's a great call. You know, it's interesting. The perception of Port Authority, Dan, and you know this, from the general public is it's a joke. From the top down.
Marty, I agree, but I also learned in my years in politics that I don't disagree with what these two callers said, but you and I don't know what the depth of this problem
is. Right.
Now, if it was every buses, it would be a joke. Now, let me find out.
Yeah.
Is this a systematic problem,
right,
or is it five buses? I don't know the answer to
that. No, but I think when people think of Port Authority, and we discussed
the
Scatellis issues, the issues with people buying pensions, the issues with folks abusing the system.
Marty, I think for the last, 10 years, how often have we seen crisis bailout, crisis bailout? People, they have no faith at all left in the system. That's why we're having this conversation right now. People are saying, no more money. Forget it. It's going broke. And we have to make a good effort that we're going to make a systematic change to the legacy cost. That will go a long way of winning back the public's trust. If they see that we are able to do this, they're going to say, okay, finally we're dealing with the problem.
But there are also people that believe, in theory, that what you're trying to do is bankrupt it because you believe that this thing, you can't fix it. You want to bankrupt it, restructure it, and move on down the road.
Well, that's ridiculous. It's a shame people feel that way. I mean, I put forward two proposals that will advert bankruptcy. And I said earlier on the show, bankruptcy would be the worst way to do the reorganization because you lose control of how to do it. But let me end with this, though, and let me be very clear again. I don't want to bankrupt it. But if we do nothing, it's going bankrupt.
Next year.
real soon.
We'll be right back. All right. Let me get through as many calls as possible. We've got Dan Honorato here. This thing, for it to be salvaged, so folks who are just tuning in, for these cuts to go away, for the drivers to come back on the job, what has to happen? They have to take one of the two options you suggested, Dan, right?
Yes, because they've already been vetted and approved by the Port Authority to not do the cuts, not do the layoffs, and keep the routes the way they are if we had one of those two options.
There is no way Pat McMahon's option is doable at all.
No, it simply doesn't get us where we need to go. It's not even close.
Not even close. Rich and Harmer, thanks for holding so long. Go.
Hey, good morning, Marty. Good morning, Dan. Just two quick questions, Dan. Act 44, is it still viable for them to vote on raising license fees or something?
I mean, anything's viable, but I think that we can all agree the environment in Harrisburg, you're not going to see new revenues. That's over. Those days are over.
Fred and Ross, thanks for your patience. A former driver, go.
Hey, Marty. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Fred.
The only thing I just want to bring it out to the public, and we all need to come together, I agree. The part that I am looking at, we all pay our Alka-San bill, don't we? Because we all do it every day. We all have to drink water, so we pay our water bill, even when it goes up. I think what maybe yourself and the management and Local 85, we need to try to make it, and it's going to be a tough road to hoe, to make it cool to ride the bus again. Back in the day when everybody...
Hold on, let's deal with reality. Only 10% of the public wants to ride the bus. The, quite frankly, most people would like to see it go bankrupt and could care less about the drivers.
But let me add a little bit of facts, though, Marty. We have one of the highest percentage of ridership in the country, meaning the number of people that take transit for work downtown because of the way we're designed, our topography. It's a very high number of people that use mass transit here because we don't have the beltway system. And there's still a lot of office work downtown and backroom space downtown that people that are on the buses using it. It's key for our economy.
But it's not coming back like the old days. Hey, Fred, you tell me as we run out of time, would you be willing to take money from your health care, pay for your health care costs as a retired driver to save these jobs?
If it is true,
yeah.
Would do that.
If what's true?
If it really indeed was not like U.S. Airways, let's give, and then they shoot it out the, then they're done anyway.
This is actually how a lot of guys feel, Dan. I appreciate the call.
And Fred, that's a fair comment because obviously I lived through part of the U.S. Airways county executive and they basically lied to us, and I'll be the first to admit it. But your point's well taken that if the retirees wanted to voluntarily participate with this, I think they have every right to make sure what exactly does it mean long term before they do it.
You tell me, Dan, have you had any communication with Pat McMahon who says this entire matter is your fault?
On Friday, when I guess he went to the media after we met in my office, I did communicate by 5 o'clock in the afternoon through an email with the two options that we're talking about. And that's where we offered a 7-day delay of the cuts if they were willing to vote on one of the two options. Since then, we have not actually talked, no.
And he called in here today suggesting that I'm letting him lie, right? So this is within the last hour. So he's still calling you a liar. Does that help him in his efforts to get to the table with you?
I will meet with anybody, including him, on the two options we're talking about, the stop the immediate problem that we have. He's got a lot of pressure on him, too. I do. I would work with Pat anytime, any day. But it's got to be based on those two options if we're going to talk about rolling back what just happened. And right now, I don't think they're ready to do it.
Does calling you a liar help at all, though?
No, that doesn't help. But I'm sure emotions are running high. And, again, I'm trying to keep lines of communication open and stress the point that it's about all of us. It's nobody's fault.
And the bottom line is this goes away. It's bankrupt by next summer.
Yeah, we can't stick our head in the ground anymore and pretend that what's happening with post-retirement health care isn't real. It is a problem. And Port Authority is out of money and out of options, and the state basically said you're on your own. It's time to deal with reality.
And if this isn't fixed by next summer, it won't be a couple hundred jobs. It'll be 1,000 jobs.
Yeah, and we could say next summer, but I think what you really ought to know is if it doesn't get fixed, that there will be a date in the very near future, maybe not next summer, maybe next fall, where Port Authority basically doesn't exist the way we know it.
Mm. Dan Honorato, I appreciate you doing this today.
Thank you, Marty.
We'll talk to you again.